Today is Thursday, January 7th, and you are listening to International Edition on The Voice of America. I am Chinedu Ofor, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. Coming up, the U.S. Congress certifies President-elect Joe Biden as winner of the 2020 presidential election.
The announcement of the state of the vote by the President of the Senate shall be deemed a sufficient declaration of the persons elected President and Vice President of the United States.
Also ahead, the WHO seeks drastic COVID control measures in Europe.
Vaccines also hold the promise of one day bringing this devastating pandemic to an end.
Plus, President Trump pledges an orderly transition of power. These stories and more are next. Our top story today is in the U.S. Congress has confirmed Democrat Joe Biden as the presidential election winner hours after a violent mob loyal to President Donald Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol. Lawmakers walked through the night to uphold the will of the voters. The Capitol was under siege for hours Wednesday, forcing lawmakers into hiding before being evacuated by the police. Earlier at a rally near the White House, the president urged his supporters to march to Capitol Hill to protest the election defeat. Congress eventually resumed after the mob was cleared out of the building and lawmakers confirmed Biden won.
Are there any objections to counting the certificate of the vote of the state of Wyoming that the teller has verified? It appears to be regular in form and authentic. Hearing none, the chair advises members of Congress, the certificates having been read, the tellers will ascertain and deliver the result to the President of the Senate.
The undersigned, Roy Blunt and Amy Klobuchar, tellers on the part of the Senate, Zoe Lofgren and Rodney Davis, tellers on the part of the House of Representatives, report the following as a result of the ascertainment and counting of the electoral vote for President and Vice President of the United States for the term beginning on the 20th day of January, 2021. The report we make is that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be the president and the vice president according to the ballots that have been given to us.
The whole number of electors appointed to vote for President of the United States is 538. Within that whole number, a majority is 270. The votes for President of the United States are as follows. Joseph R. Biden, Jr. of the state of Delaware has received 306 votes. Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 232 votes. The whole number of electors appointed to vote for Vice President of the United States is 538. Within that whole number, a majority is 270. The votes for Vice President of the United States are as follows. Kamala D. Harris of the state of California has received 306 votes. Michael R. Pence of the state of Indiana has received 232 votes. The announcement of the state of the vote by the President of the Senate shall be deemed a sufficient declaration of the persons elected President and Vice President of the United States, each for the term beginning on the 20th day of January, 2021, and shall be entered together with the list of the votes on the journals of the Senate and the House of Representatives. The purpose of the joint session having concluded, pursuant to Senate Concurrent Resolution 1, 117th Congress, the chair declares the joint session dissolved.
It was a scene Americans never expected to see in their own country as rioters mob pushed into the U.S. Capitol building. VOA's Michelle Quinn reports.
A lawmaker crouching behind a chair praying. Police drawing guns inside the Capitol building, breaking glass, scaling the building, trashing the offices of elected officials. It was a scene Americans never expected to see, not in their country. The images ricocheted around the nation on TV, in private chat groups, on social media. It started with a peaceful gathering Wednesday headlined by President Donald Trump to protest the results of the U.S. presidential election. Just a mile away, a joint session of Congress began the process of certifying those results.
We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved.
Trump suggested protesters walk to the Capitol. As the crowd approached the building, they pushed up against police lines, and their demeanor changed. They forced their way into the building, and lawmakers fled. Seeing protesters in U.S. cities is not unusual. Over the summer, unrest at times turned to violence and destruction. But what happened Wednesday in Washington, D.C. was different. Liam Donovan is a Republican strategist.
What's unheard of is having individuals storming the Capitol, breaking down windows, breaking into offices. That's a shocking thing to witness.
As night fell and Washington fell under a curfew, a stunned nation grappled to understand what led to this unprecedented moment. Jennifer Murcia is an associate professor at Texas A&M University.
We don't know how it ends, and watching the chaos in Washington, D.C. right now, it's hard to know who's in charge.
The Capitol building, the scene of so many historical moments, but nothing like this. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
The violence in the Capitol included gunfire and fighting between police and the mob. Jackie Quinn with the Associated Press has more.
Police say four people died in the violent attack on the U.S. Capitol by supporters of President Trump.
Stay down! Get down!
According to the chief of the Metropolitan Police Department in Washington, D.C., one woman was shot as a mob tried to break through a barricaded door at the Capitol, where police were armed on the other side. The woman died at the hospital. The three other deaths are classified as medical emergencies. Police say both law enforcement and the rioters fired off chemical irritants like pepper spray during the hours-long occupation of the Capitol building. Officials also say two pipe bombs were recovered, one outside the Democratic National Committee headquarters, the other outside the Republican office, and some additional weapons were found on the Capitol grounds. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
President Donald Trump now says there will be an orderly transition on January 20th after Congress concluded the electoral vote count certifying President-elect Joe Biden's victory. For more, I reached VOA's Patsy Widakuswara covering the Biden transition team in Delaware.
Well, as you know, the statement came out at 4 a.m., and the statement, although it does state an orderly transition, it does seem to feel that it's sort of begrudging, right? Because the statement from the president was, even though I totally disagree with the outcome of the election and the facts bear me out, nevertheless, there will be an orderly transition on January 20th. So because it was 4 a.m. and now it's 8 a.m. in Wilmington, Delaware, we haven't seen any kind of reaction from the Biden campaign. But of course, as you know, yesterday afternoon, I was with the president-elect Joe Biden when he demanded the President Trump to go on national television and condemn the violence and demand the siege to end. Now, of course, the president did not do that. Instead, he released a video where he did call for calm, even though he again repeated these baseless claims of fraud in the election. So we'll see what happens today. President-elect Joe Biden is scheduled to make some announcements of his Department of Justice, including his nominee for Attorney General Merrick Garland. So certainly he'll be getting some questions, and he may be expected to say something on these most recent developments.
What was it like while the siege was going on in the Biden transition campaign headquarters?
You know, it was surreal and it was tense because when the violence broke out, myself and the other members of the press, we were in a press bus in the president-elect's motorcade as we were heading to this theater in downtown Wilmington, Delaware, where Joe Biden was scheduled to deliver remarks on the economy. It was at around 2:30 in the afternoon. And then once we got there, the violence became even more widespread around the Capitol Hill. And we had to wait for about 1.5 hours. And an aide from the president-elect said that there will be a delay and he will no longer be talking about the economy. That's when Joe Biden came out at around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And he delivered that very strong and forceful remark, calling for calm, condemning the violence, and also delivering a very sharp rebuke to President Trump.
That's VOA's White House correspondent Patsy Wirakuswara speaking with me from Delaware. For the international reaction to the mob attack on the Congress, I spoke with VOA State Department correspondent Cindy Sain.
Several leaders held President Trump himself personally responsible because he had called on supporters to come to the Capitol on the day where the election was being certified there, and he had spoken to them just right before the assault happened. We had the Norwegian Prime Minister Solberg saying that a heavy responsibility rests on President Trump. Germany's Foreign Minister Heiko Maas called Trump and his supporters to finally accept the results of the November election and stop trampling democracy underfoot. You get the Dutch Prime Minister addressing Trump and saying him to please recognize Joe Biden as the next president. So there was a lot of reaction, and there were some countries that have their own problems with democracy, such as China, which compared the storming of the Capitol to last year's pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong, but noted that no one died when protesters took over the legislature in Hong Kong. One woman was shot in the U.S. Capitol. He was apparently trying to get into the House chamber. And you had Turkey and also cautioning its citizens to stay away from crowds and protests in the U.S. and urging moderation and common sense. And Venezuela, with their leader Maduro, not known for his democratic tendency, saying that the U.S. is suffering what it has generated in other countries.
That's VOA's Cindy Sain speaking with me in Washington. World leaders have condemned the violence in Washington, Reuters' Flora Bradley Watson reports.
World leaders, including U.S. allies, have been quick to express their shock and dismay at the scenes of chaos in Washington after the Capitol building was stormed on Wednesday by rioters supporting President Donald Trump. Prime ministers and presidents from around the world have called on Trump and his supporters to respect the result of the November election.
I just wanted to express our friendship and our faith in the United States.
French President Emmanuel Macron posted a video saying what happened is not American. We believe in the strength of the American democracy. While UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson called the violence a disgrace. Elsewhere in Latin America, the leaders of Argentina and Chile took to Twitter to condemn the scenes in Washington, while Venezuela, a country with a recent history of unrest, said it hoped the US could open a new path towards stability and social justice. In Asia, India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi, who's forged a good relationship with Trump, tweeted that he was distressed by the scenes and called for an orderly and peaceful transfer of power. Meanwhile, Russia's deputy UN ambassador, Dmitry Polansky, appeared to revel in what was going on. He tweeted, "Quite maiden-style pictures are coming from DC," in reference to the 2014 protests in Ukraine that toppled the Russian-backed president, Viktor Yanukovych.
That's Flora Bradley Watson of Reuters. Social media platforms Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter have blocked Trump's accounts, saying his language encourages violence. And since the attack on the Capitol, several White House staffers have resigned, saying they can no longer continue to work for the president, who leaves office in 13 days. Even as mobs were swarming the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday, Democrats have won control of the U.S. Senate and Congress as a whole after scoring a pair of wins in Tuesday's Senate runoff races that drew the attention of the nation. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports from Atlanta, Georgia, on the consequences for the Biden presidency.
Voters in Georgia delivered control of the U.S. Senate to Democrats.
This is history unfolding in Georgia right now.
As Republican Kelly Loeffler lost to Democrat Reverend Raphael Warnock, who now becomes the first black senator from the state of Georgia.
The improbable journey that led me to this place in this historic moment in America could only happen here.
And Democrat John Ossoff beat Republican Senator David Perdue.
Let's unite now to beat this virus and rush economic relief to the people of our state and to the American people.
This state saw unprecedented turnout for a runoff election, capping years of efforts by Democrats to change a longtime Republican stronghold into a swing state. President Trump's continuing unfounded claims of voter fraud in the state could be one possible factor in that shift.
You don't concede when there's theft involved.
While many of the president's supporters did come out to vote here in Georgia, Trump supporter Mark Heiss said the election was too important to miss.
We didn't get our freedom by letting other people come in and run this country like the Democrats are wanting it done.
The president's claims appear to have decreased Republican turnout in the state overall, said Georgia College professor Hank Edmondson.
The president has sown a great deal of confusion in the state with his accusations of a fraudulent process here. And there has been a fear among the Republicans for quite some time that that might depress the Republican turnout.
Vice President-elect Kamala Harris will be the tie-breaking vote in a U.S. Senate led by soon-to-be Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
And we'll get America moving again.
That marks a crucial shift in power for President-elect Biden, opening up opportunities to partner with Congress to pass his agenda during his first 2 years in office, political strategist Fred Hicks said.
The Senate Majority Leader is really the most important person in Congress. Nothing moves forward without the Senate Majority Leader. And we saw that with Mitch McConnell.
President-elect Biden will take office backed by Democratic majorities in the House and Senate, the first time the party has controlled both chambers in a decade. Katherine Gibson, VOA News, Atlanta, Georgia.
This is the Voice of America. Japan has declared a state of emergency for Tokyo and three nearby areas as coronavirus cases continue to surge, hitting a daily record of 2,447 in the capital. Prime Minister Yoshida Suga issued the declaration at the government's task force for the coronavirus. It kicks in Friday, February 7th, and centers around asking restaurants and bars to close at 8 p.m. and people to stay home and not mingle in crowds. Sudan has signed an agreement with the United States that paved the way for the cash-strapped African nation, normalize relations with Israel, and clear some of its massive debt to the World Bank. The Office of Sudan's Prime Minister said Justice Minister Nasruddin Abdulbari signed the accord with visiting U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. Sudan's Finance Ministry also said it had signed a memorandum of understanding with the U.S. for Washington to facilitate the payment of Sudan's debt to the World Bank.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA reached a major milestone in its preparation for the scheduled October launch of the Lucy space probe. Lucy will be conducting the first mission to explore the Trojan asteroids. Trojans are grouped in two large clusters that precede and follow the giant planet in its orbit around the Sun. Scientists think these objects are leftovers of the ancient material that shaped the outer planets. NASA reports the Lucy Thermal Emission Spectrometer, the second of the mission's three scientific instruments, was recently incorporated onto the spacecraft. The instrument will measure the far infrared energy released by the asteroids. The final instrument to be installed, expected to arrive soon at Lucy's construction site, is a visible imager and infrared spectroscopic mapper called LIRELF. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
You are listening to International Edition on the Voice of America. I am Chinedu Ofor, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. Violence in Mali, Niger, and the Central African Republic have left hundreds dead in recent weeks, but the United States envoy to the Sahel region says there is hope in the West African region as several nations have recently held peaceful polls with more elections to come in 2021. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
The top U.S. envoy to Africa's Sahel region acknowledges that it has been a rough few weeks in the sprawling desert region, which covers the West African nations of Burkina Faso, Chad, Mali, Mauritania, and Niger. The region is beset by a wave of deadly violence from extremist groups, with more than 1,000 violent incidents in the first half of 2020, according to a report from the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project. Most recently, in western Niger, extremists attacked three villages, killing more than 100 civilians. Peter Pham, the U.S. Special Envoy to the Sahel, strongly condemned the attacks in a call to journalists this week, calling the perpetrators cowardly and godless. But he quickly added, there is cause for hope, as Niger heads to a second round of presidential elections in February.
We have congratulated the people of Niger who exercised their democratic right to vote in their presidential and legislative elections on December 27th, and look forward to observing an equally successful runoff presidential election process on February 21st. These elections hold the promise of Niger's historic first peaceful transition of power from one democratically elected president to another.
It's no accident, Pham told journalists, that he mentions elections and instability in the same breath. That's because he contends that these outbreaks of violence across the region have one common cause.
The heart of the crisis in the Sahel, as I've repeatedly emphasized, is one of state legitimacy. Whether or not citizens perceive that their government is legitimate, equitable, able and willing to meet their needs. This includes ensuring justice and accountability for human rights violations and abuses committed by security forces. Absent Sahelian government actions that demonstrate this commitment, no degree of international engagement is likely to succeed.
That's why, he added, the majority of U.S. government assistance to the region comes in the form of health, development, and humanitarian assistance. The U.S. has invested over $1.5 billion in those sectors from 2017 to 2019. In that same time period, he said, the U.S. provided about $467 million in security assistance. Ornella Moderan, a researcher who heads the Sahel program for the Institute for Security Studies, agrees on the importance of state legitimacy. She pointed to Mali, which had a coup in August because of this very lack of confidence in the state. But, she said, to truly build legitimate governments, societies have to come together voluntarily and have genuinely inclusive dialogue. She spoke to VOA via Skype from Bamako, Mali.
Now, the question, I think, is to what extent can external actors like the U.S. actually support this and accompany this? There is a need for national ownership, and there's a need for dialogue, really, between ruling elites and common Malians. This is really the root cause of where we are right now. So it's important that while we're trying to reestablish a public dialogue, a national dialogue, that we make sure that everyone is included. And this means making sure that no ethnic groups are sidelined, no religious groups, no gender groups. And this is, of course, very challenging, but very important.
Is that happening? Maybe, said Pham, pointing to recent presidential elections in Ghana and Burkina Faso, where both incumbents were re-elected. Pham was sent to both inaugurations as part of a U.S. presidential delegation. In both polls, the opposition cried foul, though the results were nevertheless certified. And both presidents have vowed to work for all citizens. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
South Africa says it will import 1.5 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine to inoculate the country's health workers. It's the nation's first announcement of the purchase of a COVID-19 vaccine. It comes as record highs of 21,832 new confirmed cases and 844 deaths were registered Wednesday. The health minister says the first 1 million doses will be delivered later this month from the Serum Institute of India, followed by 500,000 doses in February. South Africa, with 60 million people, has reported more than 1.1 million confirmed infections. That represents more than 30% of all confirmed cases on the 54-nation continent of 1.3 billion. That's it for our show today. For more in-depth and breaking news 24 hours a day, please visit voanews.com. On behalf of our producer, Nadia Taha, and our managing editor, Kate Pound-Dawson, I am Chinedu Ofoa in Washington. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great evening.